Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 So today we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 6. Maharaj Parikshit passes away. And actually we're beginning with text 1 and reading through to text 29. Which I assume is there, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. So, it'll take us a while to get there, so just relax and listen for the time being. So, first of all, the chapter introduction. This chapter describes Maharaj Parikshit's attainment of liberation, Maharaj Janmajaya's performance of sacrifice for killing all snakes, the origin of the Vedas, and Srila Vedavyasa's dividing of the Vedic literature. After hearing the words of Sri Shukadev, Maharaj Parikshit stated that by having listened to the Bhagavatam, which is the compendium of the Puranas, and which is full of the nectarian pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Uttama Shloka, Parikshit had attained the transcendental position of fearlessness and oneness with the Supreme. His ignorance had been dispelled, and by the mercy of Sri Shukadev, he had gained sight of the supremely auspicious personal form of God, namely the personality of Godhead Sri Hari. As a result, he had cast aside all fear of death. Sri Parikshit Maharaj then begged Shukadev Goswami to permit him to fix his heart upon the lotus feet of Lord Hari and give up his life. Granting this permission, Sri Shukadev rose and departed. Subsequently, Maharaj Parikshit, free of all doubts, sat down in yogic posture and merged himself in meditation upon the Supersoul. Then the snake bird Takshaka, arriving in the disguise of a Brahmin, bit him, and the body of the saintly king immediately burned to ashes. Janmajaya, the son of Parikshit, became very angry when he received news of his father's death, and he began a sacrificial performance for the purpose of destroying all the snakes. Even though Takshaka received protection from Indra, he nevertheless became attracted by the mantras and was about to fall into the fire. Seeing this, Brihaspati, the son of Angira Rishi, came and advised Maharaj Janmajaya that Takshaka could not be killed because he had drunk the nectar of the demigods. Furthermore, Angira said that all living entities must enjoy the fruits of their past activities. Therefore, the king should give up this sacrifice. Janmajaya was thus convinced by the words of Brihaspati and stopped his sacrifice. Thereafter, Suta Goswami, in response to questions from Sri Shonaka, described the divisions of the Vedas. From the heart of the topmost demigod Brahma came the subtle transcendental vibration, and from the subtle sound vibration arose the syllable Om, greatly potent and self-luminous. Using this Omkar, Lord Brahma created the original Vedas and taught them to his sons, Marichi and others, who were all saintly leaders of the Brahmin community. This body of Vedic knowledge was handed down through the disciplic succession of spiritual masters until the end of Dwapara Yuga, when Lord Vyasadeva divided it into four parts and instructed various schools of sages in these four samhitas. When the sage Yajnavalkya was rejected by his spiritual master, he had to give up all the Vedic mantras he had received from him. To obtain new mantras of the Yajurveda, Yajnavalkya worshipped the Supreme Lord in the form of the sun god. Sri Suryadev subsequently fulfilled his prayer. So that is the brief outline of the subject matters of this chapter. And let us now read, and you all please just continue listening. Sutravacha etanishamya munina bihitam parikshid vyasatma jena nikilatma drishasamena tatpada mulam upasrita natena muradna badanjalis tamidam ahasa vishnurata. Suta Goswami said, after hearing all that was narrated to him by the self-realized and equipoised Shukadev, the son of Vyasadeva, Maharaj Parikshit humbly approached his lotus feet. Bowing his head down upon the sage's feet, the king, who had lived his entire life under the protection of Lord Vishnu, folded his hands in supplication and spoke as follows. Purport. According to Srila Vishwanath Jagavati Thakur, some of the sages present while Shukadev was instructing King Parikshit were impersonalist philosophers. Thus, the word Samena indicates that in the previous chapter, Shukadev Goswami had spoken the philosophy of self-realization in a way pleasing to such intellectual yogis. Well, let us just make a little point here that, of course, we know very well that Srimad Bhagavatam, the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. And Srila Jiva Goswami in Krishna Sandarbha, part of his great study of Srimad Bhagavatam, he makes the point that in Srimad Bhagavatam there is a particular verse which is Canto 1, Chapter 3, Verse 28, which is called the Paribhas Sutra of Srimad Bhagavatam. There in that particular writing, Jiva Goswami makes the point that it is more or less a standard practice in Vedic literature and the writings based on Vedic literature that generally there will be at least one Paribhas Sutra. And what that means is, Paribhas Sutra means a verse, a sutra, which defines the subject matter of the particular book. So 1.3.28 is a very famous verse. It is, Jiva Goswami says, the Paribhas Sutra of Srimad Bhagavatam. Ede changsa kalapum sa krishna stu bhagavan svayam indrari vyakalam lokam mridi yanti yuge yuge. That there are many forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Some of them are partial forms, some of them are parts of parts. But of all those forms, Krishna stu bhagavan svayam, Krishna is the original form. Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original possessor of all opulences. And he descends in different forms from time to time. When the enemies of Indra, they become prominent. Yeah. So this is the Paribhas Sutra according to Srila Jiva Goswami. It's a very appropriate verse. That Srimad Bhagavatam is about different forms of the Lord. In different cantos, there are descriptions of different forms of the Lord. Seventh canto, of course, we know Lord Nrisimhadeva is focused on a lot. Eighth canto, Lord Vamana. In other cantos, like fourth canto, Varaha, third canto, Kapila, and so on and so forth. So there are many forms of the Lord, and they're on different levels and have different capacities. But of all those forms, Krishna is the original form, and therefore the most important. And this book, Srimad Bhagavatam, is focusing on him. Not just on the many different forms and how nice each form is and its particular ways, but this Srimad Bhagavatam is specifically focusing on Krishna himself. So, anyway, in terms of what is stated here, that in the previous chapter, the fifth chapter of the 12th canto, there was some verses spoken by Shukadev Goswami, which they appear on the surface at least to be expressing some impersonal idea about the absolute truth. But the idea is that he did that because there were some impersonalist types present there, and he wanted just for them perhaps to feel comfortable, something like that. But this should not confuse us. We should not think that actually Srimad Bhagavatam is a book about Krishna and impersonalism also, and whatever other subjects may be there. We should not think like that. Jiva Goswami makes the point that there is a second and even secondary Paribhas Sutra in Srimad Bhagavatam. Vedanti tat tat va vedas tat vam yaj jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabjite. What's that verse number?
1 or 10?
I think it's 1, 2, 11. Anyway, it's somewhere there in the first canto. Vedanti tat tat va vedas. Those learned people who know the absolute truth, they refer to this absolute truth, this advaya, non-dual. Non-dual means one. Knowledge and subject matter, and that one absolute truth. But they refer to that one absolute truth in three features: Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. This is also an important point, that Krishna is not just a, you could say, simple personality. Krishna is a complex personality. There are different features to his nature and like that. So in simple terms, particularly how he manifests in this material world, he manifests as Brahman. Well, first of all, he manifests as Bhagavan. Means the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then from that Bhagavan expands the Supersoul, who's a partial form of Krishna. He's within the heart of every living entity and even within every atom. And then from Krishna comes his bodily effulgence, which is the Brahman, which is not different from him. It's his effulgence, it's part of him. But it's impersonal. So in other words, where there are, as mentioned here in this purport, where you find some verses which are describing the absolute truth in terms of being Brahman, some impersonal light, energy, potency, Shakti, like that, non-dual, all-pervading. When you find verses in Srimad Bhagavatam describing the Absolute Truth in those terms, then we should understand these verses are describing the Brahman feature of Krishna. They're not suggesting that really the impersonal understanding is the best or is a competitor to the understanding of Krishna. But it's just like we say sometimes, if different people who have relationships, different types of relationships with the same person, write little paragraphs describing that same person, then of course people can really only describe a person as they know the person. So if someone knows that person as his father, he will describe him in that way. If someone knows the person as his friend, he'll describe him in that way. If someone knows the person as their husband, then they'll describe him in those terms. And if someone knows him as his enemy, he'll describe him in very negative terms. So, like this. So Krishna is a multifaceted person, and he has this aspect to him. And for people who only know him in that way, then he may be presented in that way. But in the overall sense, we should understand that this is just a partial perspective on him, and he's actually a much greater person than just that. So this is what's being stated here. Rajavacha sidosmyanu grihitosmi bhavata karanatmana shravato yach chame sakshad anadhi nidano hari. Maharaj Parikshit said, I have now achieved the purpose of my life because a great and merciful soul like you has shown such kindness to me. You have personally spoken to me this narration of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who was without beginning or end. Natyad bhutam aham manye mahatam achyutatmanam agyeshu tapatapteshu bhuteshu yad anugraha. I do not consider it at all amazing that great souls such as yourself, whose minds are always absorbed in the infallible personality of Godhead, show mercy to the foolish conditioned souls, tormented as we are by the problems of material life. Purana samitam etam ashram sha bhavato vayam yasyam kulatama shloko bhagavan anuvarnyate. I have heard from you the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the perfect summary of all the Puranas, and which perfectly describes the Supreme Lord, Uttama Shloka. Bhagavams takshakadibhyo mrityubhyo na bibhemyaham pravishto brahma nirvanam abhayam darshitam twaya. My Lord, I now have no fear of takshaka, or any other living being, or even of repeated deaths, because I've absorbed myself in that purely spiritual absolute truth which you have revealed and which destroys all fear. Anujanihi mam brahman vacham yacham yadhokshaje mukta kama shayam cheta praveshya visrajam yasun. O Brahman, please give me permission to resign my speech and the functions of all my senses unto Lord Adhokshaja. Allow me to absorb my mind, purified of lusty desires, within him, and to thus give up my life. Purport. Sukadev Goswami asked King Parikshit, what more do you wish to hear? Now the king replies that he has perfectly understood the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, and that he is ready, without further discussion, to go back home back to Godhead. Agyanam cha nirastam me gyana vigyana nishtaya bhavata darshitam shemam param bhagavata padam. You have revealed to me that which is most auspicious, the supreme personal feature of the Lord. I am now fixed in knowledge and self-realization, and my ignorance has been eradicated. Sutta Rivacha. Ityuktas tam anugyapya bhagavan badarayani chigama bhikshubi sakam naradevena pujita. Sutta Goswami said, thus requested, the saintly son of Srila Vyasadeva gave his permission to King Parikshit. Then, after being worshipped by the king and all the sages present, Shukadeva departed from that place. It appears he did not want to witness that, because the others stayed there. Parikshit api rajarshir atmanyatmanam atmana samadaya param dadyav aspandasu aryatataru prakule barhishyasino gangakula udanmukha brahmabhuto mahayogi nisangas china samshaya. Maharaj Parikshit then sat down on the bank of the Ganges upon a seat made of darbha grass with the tips of its stalks facing east, and turned himself toward the north. Having attained the perfection of yoga, he experienced full self-realization and was free of material attachment and doubt. The saintly king settled his mind within his spiritual self by pure intelligence and proceeded to meditate upon the Supreme Absolute Truth. His life air ceased to move, and he became a stationary as a tree. Takshaka prahito vipra krudena dvija sununa hantu kamo nripam gachan dadarsha patikashyapam. O learned Brahmins, the snake bird Takshaka, who had been sent by the angry son of a Brahmin, was going toward the king to kill him when he saw Kashyapa Muni on the path. Tam tarpayitva dravinair nivartya visharinam dvijarupa pratichana kamarupo dashanripam. Takshaka flattered Kasyapa by presenting him with valuable offerings and thereby stopped the sage, who was expert in counteracting poison, from protecting Maharaj Parikshit. Then the snake bird, who could assume any form he wished, disguised himself as a Brahmin, approached the king, and bit him. Purport. Kasyapa could counteract the poison of Takshaka and demonstrated this power by bringing a palm tree back to life after Takshaka had burnt it to ashes by biting it with his fangs. According to the arrangement of destiny, Kashyapa was diverted by Takshaka, and the inevitable took place. Well, in other words, he bribed Kashyapa. He bribed him. Corruption is there even on levels you might not expect it. As described here previously, Takshaka bit a palm tree for some reason, and his poison was so extremely powerful, the tree just erupted in flames and just burned to ashes. And then Kasyapa came along and brought it back to its full position as a tree, even though it was already burnt to ashes. So Kasyapa was extremely powerful in that way. And many of these sages, they have mystic powers of different types. So therefore Takshaka, who wanted to kill Maharaj Parikshit by biting him and poisoning him. He gave him a box of jewels. Well, valuable offerings, it says. And here we see on the front cover, you can see, I don't know if you can see from there, there's Takshaka, there's Maharaj Parikshit, his body is blazing, and there's Kasyapa down there with this box of whatever it is, some valuable things, making a hasty exit with his loot, with his bribe. So, just see. So it's interesting. Unless someone, Kasyapa is not famous for being a pure devotee of the Lord. He's generally known for being in a mixed position. He has different interests spiritually, and he has material interests also. So, people who are not pure devotees, completely beyond any hint, even the shadow of material attraction, any other person who's not on that level, they have their price. They have their price. And if they become very strong and say and refuse, if they're offered something, if they refuse, then really perhaps they're just more attached to their pride in thinking that they're very great, which is another type of price. Yeah. So Kasyapa, because of his mixed position, he accepted the bribe, even though he knew that the cost of it would be that Maharaj Parikshit would be killed and that he could save him. But he took his bribe and went and let Maharaj Parikshit die. Brahmabhutasya Raja Shir Dehohi Garalagnina Babuva Basmasat Sadya Pashyatam Sarvadehinam. While living beings all over the universe looked on, the body of the great self-realized saint among kings was immediately burnt to ashes by the fire of the snake's poison. Poison, the active elements in poisons of different types are fire elements. That poison acts on the basis of fire in whatever, in different ways. Yeah. Hahakaro mahana sid bhuvike dikshu sarvata vismita yabhavam sarave devasura naradaya. There arose a terrible cry of lamentation in all directions, on the earth and in the heavens, and all the demigods, demons, human beings, and other creatures were astonished. Deva Dundu Bayo Nedur Gandharva Gandharvapsaraso Jagu Vavrishu Pushpa Varshani Vibhuda Saduvadina. Kettle drums sounded in the regions of the demigods, and the celestial Gandharvas and Apsaras sang. The demigods showered flowers and spoke words of praise. Purport. Although lamenting at first, all learned persons, including the demigods, soon realized that a great soul had gone back home, back to Godhead. This was certainly a cause for celebration. Yes, because the body has to die sooner or later, somehow or other. It is just a matter of how and when. And the question, if, is not a question, but only how and when, really, and why. So, for a devotee, though particularly exalted, pure devotee like Maharaj Parikshit, it doesn't matter how, it doesn't matter when, it doesn't matter why, in the sense of, you know, what the sort of the reasons for the particular circumstances were. It's just the way for him to go back home, back to Godhead, that's all. Janma jaya swapitaram shrutvatak shaka bakshitam yata juhava sankrudo nagan satre sahadvijay. Hearing that his father had been fatally bitten by the snake bird, Maharaj Janmajaya became extremely angry and had Brahmins perform a mighty sacrifice in which he offered all the snakes in the world into the sacrificial fire. Of course, interesting point. We read a couple of verses ago. Takshaka, because he was a very powerful mystic, he assumed the form of a Brahmin. And it was as if a Brahmin came and bit Maharaj Parikshit. You wouldn't really expect that normally. Here, of course, he's depicted as the snake bird. Maybe he just immediately transformed back into a snake bird. But anyway, that's what happened. Takshaka. Oops. Sarpasatre samidhagno dayamana mahoragan drishtvendram baya samvignas takshaka sharanam yayo. When Takshaka saw even the most powerful serpents being burned in the blazing fire of that snake sacrifice, he was overwhelmed with fear and approached Lord Indra for shelter. Apashyams takshakam tatra raja parikshito dvijan uvacha takshaka kasman nadaye toragadama. When King Janmajaya did not see Takshaka entering his sacrificial fire, he said to the Brahmins, "Why is not Takshaka, the lowest of all serpents, burning in this fire?" Tamgo payati rajendra shakra sharanam agatam tena samstam bitam sarpas tasmam nagno patatyaso. The Brahmins replied, "O best of kings, the snake Takshaka has not fallen into the fire because he is being protected by Indra, whom he has approached for shelter. Indra is holding him back from the fire." Parikshita iti shrutva prahart vija udaradi sahendras takshako vipra nagno kim iti patyate. The intelligent king Janmajaya, hearing these words, replied to the priests, "Then, my dear Brahmins, why not make Takshaka fall into the fire along with his protector Indra?" Tatshrut va juhuvur vipra sahindram takshakam make takshakashu patasveha sahindrena marutvata. Hearing this, the priests then chanted this mantra for offering Takshaka together with Indra as an oblation into the sacrificial fire. This is the mantra. "O Takshaka, fall immediately into this fire together with Indra and his entire host of demigods." Hare Krishna. Ooh. And this is the actual mantra. Takshakashu patasveha Sahendrena Marutvata. Anyway, we don't have the potency. We don't see them. Iti Brahmo Ditakshe Pai Stanad Indra Prachalita Babuva Sambranta Mati Savimana Satakshaka. When Lord Indra, along with his airplane and Takshaka, was suddenly thrown from his position by these insulting words of the Brahmins, he became very disturbed. So they were so powerful. They just say that. And then it happens, and not just with anybody, but with Lord Indra and all the demigods. Oh, that's amazing. Tampatantam vimanena sahatakshakam ambarat bilokyangirasa praha rajanam tam brihaspati. Brihaspati, the son of Angira Muni, seeing Indra falling from the sky in his airplane along with Takshaka, approached King Janmajaya and spoke to him as follows. Naisha twaya manusyendra vadam arhati sarparat anena pitam amritam atava ajaramara. O king among men, it is not fitting that this king of snakes meet death at your hands, for he has drunk the nectar of the immortal demigods. Consequently, he is not subject to the ordinary symptoms of old age and death. At least, not in the ordinary ways. But after some time, he would die. Normally what happens with many of them, they stay young their whole lives. And even when they are, in terms of years, old, they look just like fresh youths or something like that. Then suddenly one day, they die. Just like that. Jivatam maranam jantur gati swenaeva karamana rajams tatonyo nastyasya pradata sukadukayo The life and death of an embodied soul and his destination in the next life are all caused by himself through his own activity. Therefore, O King, no other agent is actually responsible for creating one's happiness and distress or one's death. Purport. Although King Parikshit apparently died by the bite of Takshaka, it was Lord Krishna himself who brought the king back to the kingdom of God. Brihaspati wanted young King Janmajaya to see things from the spiritual point of view. Yeah. So this is for the devotees. For everybody else, it's just their karma, whatever that happens to be. The end of this body will come in that way. And some may die supposedly peacefully in their sleep. Some may die in some dramatic accident or through some long, painful disease. That's all just in terms of their previous activities. But the great devotees, it's by the arrangement of the Lord that they leave. In particular ways. Sarpachoragni vidyubhya shutridvyad yadibhyan ripa panchatvam richate jantur bungta arabda karmatat. When a conditioned soul is killed by snakes, thieves, fire, lightning, hunger, disease, or anything else, he's experiencing the reaction to his own past work. Purport. According to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, King Parikshit obviously was not suffering the reaction of his past karma. As a great devotee, he was personally brought back home, back to Godhead, by the Lord. tasmat satram idam rajan samstiye ta bi charikam sarapa anagaso dhagda janar dishtam hi bhujyate. Therefore, my dear king, please stop this sacrificial performance, which was initiated with the intent of doing harm to others. Many innocent snakes have already been burnt to death. Indeed, all persons must suffer the unforeseen consequences of their past activities. So interesting how he puts it. Anyway, let me just read the purport. Brihaspati here admits that although the snakes appear to be innocent, by the Lord's arrangement, they're also being punished for previous vicious activities. So it's interesting as how he puts it. Many innocent snakes have already been burnt to death. Indeed, all persons must suffer the unforeseen consequences of their past activities. So, on the material level, this is the case. There is no innocent victim on the material level. People may look innocent, like the one classic type, at least, is children, little children, babies. They look innocent. But then it happens in many cases with little children, maybe they're even killed in the womb of the mother. Then they would appear to really be innocent. Or maybe just somehow they get some disease and die. Something like this happens. Children also die. So they appear innocent and people do think, that this is unfair. If there's a God, he's unfair. Or they think this is evidence for their supposedly not being a God, because these quote-unquote innocent people die, and sometimes in very horrible ways. Any death on the material level, any death is horrible. But indeed, all persons must suffer the unforeseen consequences of their past activities. Unforeseen. You don't know how these things are working. But then suddenly it works. And to you and to everybody else it appears mysterious. But it is not. You are just getting what you deserve, because of certain specific things you did in the past. Suta uvacha ityukta sa tatetyaha mahasher manayan vacha sarupa satrad uparata pujayam asavak patim. Suta Goswami continued, advised in this way, Maharaj Janmajaya replied, so be it. Honoring the words of the great sage, he desisted from performing the snake sacrifice and worshipped Brihaspati, the most eloquent of sages. And now, at 8:30, we've reached our verse. What should we do? Just carry on? Or stop? Stop. So we can carry on with 29 tomorrow. Hare Krishna. Any comment or question from anyone? Srila Prabhupada ki.